From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made 53 years ago in Waterloo, New York. Mac's Drive-In opened, the kind of old-school burger and float joint that you might see only in throwback movies these days. But Mac's is still here, and if you've taken it for granted, well, consider that tourists now come to Mac's from across the Northeast. You see, we have this tendency to blow by the small stores, the restaurants with character, the quiet places to read a book. We take the fast road, often in a hurry. This hour, we're taking the slow road. Slow Road Travel is a company created by Ben Welk and his goals to highlight what we might be missing in our frenetic lives. And so we welcome, slowly, Ben Welk to Connections. How are you?
Very good. Thank you so much for having us.
I hope that's a fair description of the company.
I think that's great.
Because you have a lot of different titles and you do a lot of different things, and we're going to be talking about that. But the primary mission, it seems to me, is to make sure we're looking around and absorbing all these gems and jewels around us.
Yeah, it's looking at how we're connected to places we may not even realize exist, and giving those people that are doing incredible things in small places and small communities a chance to be known for what they do and honored for what they do.
Steve Carter is sort of the jack of all trades, the brand development manager officially for Slow Road Travel, and soon to be the on-the-road lackey for Ben when you hit the road with us. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having us.
Now, Steve, you're from Saratoga Springs.
Yes.
What brought you to Rochester?
School, actually. I went to Roberts Wesleyan College for the past, 4 years, and I graduated 2 years ago, so
okay, and
sticking around.
And you've chosen to stay.
Yeah.
And Ben, you are mostly a Rochesterian most of your life, I guess.
Yeah, I was born in Rockledge, Florida in 1983, and my dad was actually brought up here for school as well for the U of R for his PhD studies around 87, and have always been around Rochester since that time, and it's still home right now.
Slow Road Travel was created when?
Slow Road was created about a year and a half ago. It kind of came out of a lot of ideas actually during my graduate studies at RIT. It was a personal choice of mine to try to absorb all the stress of graduate studies to literally hop in my car and just drive to unfamiliar places, sometimes with no destination at all. And out of that, it became evident. I was in the slow food movement in Rochester, New York, on the board of directors. And so it wasn't really all that much of a jump to begin looking at what the meaning of a word like slow represents and how could that be applied to tourism and how we explore our region.
And frankly, Ben and Steve, the word slow, we view it as a pejorative these days because everything has to be done quickly. Mm. Every assignment has to be done quickly. We always want to get somewhere as fast as we can. We want to get in our car, go fast, get out, and get going. And we don't do a whole lot of slow absorbing. I was talking to someone earlier today, and she said, I can't remember the last time I just sat and read a book in a quiet place.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the pace of our generation, certainly I'm in my 30s at this point, the generation before, attention spans are waning. Everything does move very quickly, but that doesn't always equal a good quality of life. And I think what I personally found when I was going through this at RIT with my frenetic pace of studies was that this became an outlet. It was therapeutic for me to actually leave and begin to visit other places. And I joke a lot, but I think it's probably true. I have to put a blood pressure monitor on me, but I think my blood pressure starts to lower the further I get away out of Rochester sometimes just to have a chance to get away for a day or even a few hours.
Well, and so for our listeners this hour, and I'm already seeing a bunch of responses on Twitter, and we'll get to those, but if you want to join the conversation, I'd love to hear from you. What are your favorite quiet places or a place of character, a great restaurant or a store or a place that you just can't believe more people don't know about? Maybe it's in a small town not far from Rochester. Maybe it's sort of a one tank trip away. Maybe it's your go-to place when you want to sort of de-stress the same way Ben talked about. I'd love to hear your feedback on that. I'll be sharing a couple of my favorite places in the region as we go throughout the hour. And Slow Road Travel is a company that episodes.
Yeah, basically we're doing a documentary dedicated to the spirit of place and the roads less traveled is what we say. And again, in this desire really to, I think, both give people an opportunity to connect, engage, and improve their own quality of life by experiencing these places. But also it's synergistic because we feel like those people in those places deserve to be known. And even looking at the idea of slow, slow has taken on a lot of connotations, but slow, it tends to mean local now in its own definitions of slow food, and I even saw slow fashion recently described as ethical, and as opposed to fast fashion, that it was ethical and sustainable. So we're really looking at this as a way to build relationships with place, build relationships with people, and do that in a way that actually you know, both people can walk away from and experience.
Such a good idea. I already see the phones ringing. I think people are going to connect to this whole notion. Before I get to a clip from your first episode, episode, is that the wrong word? Is that okay?
No, we're running with episode. We just basically kind of relaunched the entire Slow Road brand over the past 6 months. We're coming out with a new producer, new videographer, new branding, and really the whole idea of the spirit of place is what's been introduced this fall, because really the spirit of place can be found anywhere, and we have even done some things right here in Rochester and some of the neighborhoods and small coffee shops that lend themselves to capturing that. So we're dedicated to the spirit of place. We're dedicated to being a guide and helping people to discover things that they don't even know exist.
All right, so the first episode is less than 10 minutes long. Mm-hmm. Most of the episodes will be around that. Is that about right?
Yeah, as long as we're in an online series format, that's the way we'll be going. We have engaged previous conversations about the possibility of being broadcast or syndicated. At that point, we'll probably look at a more traditional 25, 30-minute episode. But right now, the feeling is let's put out as much content as we possibly can. A lower budget for online production helps us do that.
Yeah.
And so we're being very ambitious with an idea of trying to put out around 9 to even 12 episodes, depending on what type of funding we can engage this year.
Okay, and just under 10 minutes, you get this wonderful story. And I have to give you guys credit. It's really beautiful storytelling. The videography is great. I'm going to play a clip that's about 90 seconds, but I will tell our listeners it's certainly better when it's married to the images, even though the audio, I think, is going to be very enjoyable. And where can they go to see Slow Road videos?
Probably the best place right now is slowroadtravel.com. In part of our partnership with other local entities that are covering Rochester, the Rochesteriat has also hosted our material. And we're also can be found on some social media pages like Hometown Rochester or Join If You're From Rochester, New York. And all of them are really helping to kind of spread this gospel of what it's like when you go on the slow roads in the area.
Okay. You chose Max in Waterloo, and just for a little bit of a context here, the first person you're going to hear in this video is, I think it's Kathy McDougall, one of the founders. So
yes.
Let's listen to a clip, about a 90-second clip from this video, from the Slow Road episode here, where they go out to Max in Waterloo, and you're going to hear from one of the founders, Kathy McDougall.
I'm one of the originals about 55 years ago.
And I'm Jerry, right? And Kathy's husband. And I've been around here all those years, right? We built this place, started it, and ran it, and we think we created something pretty wonderful. When we started building it, Jim was 2 weeks old. And now he's one of the owners, right? We were franchised Root Beer Sand. After 50 years, there are two places left in the world that use Richardson Root Beer. This place and a place on the Ohio border with Pennsylvania. You got to realize that we had a monopoly on this kind of thing when we opened it. There were no McDonald's and no Burger Kings, no Kentucky Fried Chickens within miles.
Tell us your name.
Ashley Houtenbrink.
Ashley? Yep. Cool. And Ashley, how long have you worked at Max Drive-In?
I'm working on my fourth season here. A lot of people hear about it and they like want to come up and travel just to see it. Like, I get a lot of people from Buffalo, Ontario, even, and people from all over. They hear about it and they want to come see it.
Basically, it's a living. I mean, I'm slowly, very, very slowly getting used to the idea that we're actually a tourist attraction. I still just think of us as a working restaurant, you know.
Yeah, to accept the fact that they are a tourist attraction, and you get such a beautiful flavor of a place like Max there. Why did you choose Max for your first episode?
You know, it's funny. Probably of all the regional roads, Route 96 was one that I had taken even, you know, when I was much younger, when I was first driving around 17 or 18, and Ithaca used to be one of my getaway spots, and I used to take 96 to get to Ithaca. And so I had gone through Max Drive-In several years ago and had experienced it for the first time. But also I just was thinking about different places people could connect to out of Rochester and the familiarity aspect. And actually 96 was chosen as a route to take to Max because of the fact that it's East Avenue in the heart of downtown. And so we literally started filming in the front of the little theater in the East End to really build that relevancy to say, look, you're standing on East Avenue right now, but look how you're connected to Max Drive-In in Waterloo area. which was built in 1968, and that's equally as iconic as a place like the Little Theater, and all you have to do is just take 96 and head it south. So Max is it's a relic, it's an artifact, but it's still fully in motion, and it's still culturally relevant, which I think speaks to everything we're trying to convey through the idea of Slow Roads.
Before we get to the phones, that's a great point on the notion of connection, because you don't just go to Max in the episode. You take us on stops in Clifton Springs, Phelps, other parts of Waterloo. So you get to see these cool places on the way.
Yeah, Clifton Springs amazed me. You know, I really have gotten around New York quite a bit. Clifton Springs was a place I had never been to until we filmed, because it's one of these destinations where even you have to get off of the slow road a little bit. So the slow road being 96 South in this episode, you still have to get off by about a block to encounter the main street of Clifton Springs. And when you turn the corner onto Main Street, you just have this incredible scope of historic buildings, absolutely beautiful buildings that exist in downtown, you know, four-star restaurant that exists there. Called Warfields, and a hotel that's there. They have an English garden you can sit in that's part of their courtyard. They have gas lamps that are in that English courtyard. And then right across the street, there's a brand new Main Street Arts Gallery that looks like something you could encounter in Manhattan or Brooklyn. And so, again, it's just this thought and this idea that you never know what to expect. And by minimally even just getting out of our comfort zone sometimes, or just taking a road we've never found before, you know, there's always this exhilarating feeling that we're going to discover something brand new.
This is Keith in Farmington. Keith, thanks for calling Connections. Go ahead.
Interesting show, Evan. Gentlemen, I understand what you're trying to say, but in actuality, the slow road, less traveled, if there's something very good at the end of it, it's going to be the slow road, less traveled, because there's so much traffic, everybody else is going there. But I do know what you're trying to say, and just two things. One, I like going to Niagara-on-the-Lake. A lot of people have heard of it. A lot of people go there, but it's still incredible the amount of people who I know that have never been there. And what's quaint, if you're familiar with it, you'll know what it is. But what's nice about it, there's no chain restaurants there. There's no chain hotels there or anything like that. Shopping. The whole premise behind Niagara-on-the-Lake is the Shaw Festival. But now the whole town is still open now in the wintertime, and they have other festivals throughout the year. But the other thing, on the slow road, less travel, and I live in Ontario County, if you're trying to encourage people to hop on 96 and drive there without taking the thruway and getting off in Geneva and cutting over that way, it also depends on what you're driving, what type of vehicle you have. Because I belong to this group of guys, and we jokingly talk about taking our cars just to go to the store to get some milk and driving 3 miles total just to get the milk, because the car itself is fun to drive. You may not understand what I'm trying to say, but until you obtain a car that is different, that is fun to drive, that enhances the driving experience rather than getting into the minivan pointing in the direction you want to go. There is a big difference. And I, throughout the summer, I looked for, I mean, I thought Skinny Antlers was gorgeous, and I just took the thruway to one exit and then drove all the back roads, and that was wonderful. Wonderful drive.
Well, Keith, thanks for the call. I think that is, first of all, working back through his comment, I think that's a very good point, because most of the time when I think of vehicles these days, I think about efficiency and getting where you want to go, and I don't mind driving, but the notion of the old school road trip, it exists, but it's probably not as common as it used to be.
Yeah, I think there's a range of experiences. You know, the first early road trips I had, I started off in a Toyota Corolla. I wouldn't necessarily say that was a sleek and stylish automobile, but with the people that I brought along the trips, we still had a phenomenal time. We didn't really think as much about what we were driving. But the funny point is now I do, and actually part of the style of slow road is the fact that we drive this Mini Cooper around, and it's, you know, it feels awesome to pull up a Mini Cooper into Max Drive, and, you know, it's a newer Cooper, but it's based on this nostalgic retro feel when you pull in, and I, you know, I love the way that the car handles, and it feels iconic as well to me when I travel with it. So I like that idea as well, you know, that you take, you know, stylized vehicles, it's stylized travel that we're talking about. It's a different experience than a traditional idea of tourism.
Now, forgive me, Ben, but does a slow road have to originate in Rochester, or at least come through here?
No, what we're really exploring is, because Rochester's my hometown, I really want to look at how Rochester is connected to surrounding areas. And I think the model of Slow Road for the Future, whether we are across the country or here in upstate New York, is going to be looking at getting people out of an urban area to kind of fringe communities that they can experience. That's really the model that I like and that I'd like to see. You know, it would be nice to see that maybe go both directions at some point, and to encourage some of the smaller towns that we visit to come visit things that are possibly similar on their main street, that they can come into a neighborhood in downtown Rochester that they haven't experienced before. But right now I'm really focused on the idea of creating experiences for people in an urban area that they can then go and take, you know, their themselves, but also their dollars, and help benefit these small towns.
And let me sort of give you a Rochester example of what I think of when I think of slow in a non-pejorative way, but probably might be seen as a business handicap if you put it on your business name. I'm not saying Slow Road. There's a restaurant in Rochester called Lento, which is Italian for slow. And their whole notion is that we're not going to hurry you. Not that we have slow or inattentive service, but we'll stop by when it looks like you need something, but we want you to be able to relax. And you know, Art Rogers, the chef, is just tremendous, and I've spoken to him in the past. And yeah, of course, occasionally some people say, I want somebody over my shoulder all the time. But I think that's a function of the modern age. I think this notion of longer meals and relaxing is maybe that's old school now, but I appreciate the slow side of things. So I know that was the first thing that popped in my mind when I thought Rochester Slow.
Right.
It's a restaurant named Slow.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I think even there's a place in episode 2 we're going to feature that's also a slow food restaurant. And we really like the idea that Slow Road will be highlighting something slow food. It's a farm-to-table restaurant called Roots Cafe, which is on Main Street in Naples by the Inspire More Vineyard. And I've been there several times. It's in this amazing 19th century farm homestead that they've done a beautiful job of, you know, putting tables in, making it a functional restaurant space, beautiful outdoor porch. And we actually just ate there recently this past week. It is a slower experience, but again, the quality that you get, the experience that you get. And I guess really what I'm trying to balk is this idea that, you know, sometimes efficiency doesn't matter. Why does efficiency matter in our personal lives outside of our professional careers if we can get away from this idea that we have to have things done in a certain amount of time, instead of just kind of throwing things to the wind and saying, let's just have an experience. You know, let's not even know the destination necessarily, but let's utilize a slow road to just surround ourselves with things that are unfamiliar, and what kind of how can that affect us? How can that make us feel through doing that? And I know for me personally and people I've spoken with that, you know, it's a very positive feeling to be able to do that.
It's a great idea. Ben Welk is the founder of Slow Road Travel, that company that's working on creating this documentary-style video series. Steve Carter's here as well, the brand development manager with the company. And let's get back to the phones. This is Rich in Rochester. Hi, Rich.
Yeah, this is an interesting conversation, because I find the more like the road trips, I think, as far as personally, I think it builds relationships. If you allow yourself to go on this road trip with people and to share, to me, it's like walking. I think when you spend time with other people and you are sequestered by the walk, by the car, by whatever, or even if you're running together, you have a chance to build some really strong, powerful relationships. And I think people miss that point. And also, I think one of the things against us as far as the small world is the economics of it. Like, say, for instance, if you have in Rochester, you have a restaurant in Village Gates where you're paying X number of $100 a month to rent that space. You can't afford the slow experience. It's just the unfortunate reality that if you don't have turnover, you don't make enough money and you can't stay in business. So those are just the two points. But I think the building of a personal relationship, and I'm talking about very intimate ones, with the, you know, and you can do on those long drives, those long walks, or those jogs, or whatever.
I think, well said, Rich. What do you think, Ben?
I love that. I think, you know, it's no coincidence that in a time which was probably the most isolating for me personally in my life, I was living on my own in a little carriage house in the South Wedge, a single guy at the time, like I said, when I was at RIT. I think an equal part of wanting to find something relaxing from the pace of life that I was living was also this desire to connect with other people and to connect with community. And absolutely, it's actually what's always fascinated me is this idea that there are certain places we can walk into and we don't feel like we have to give an explanation for being there. It's almost from like a hospitality perspective that you walk in and you feel welcomed. And Maybe that's the feeling of a small town or a small village that you can encounter when you take a slow road. Maybe that's the feeling of a way that a business owner has set up their restaurant and that they want to actually give you a quality experience when you're there, and they want to also personally connect with you. But for sure, I feel like I was actually in search of community through that time as well. And how exciting is it to begin to know not just your own backyard, not just your city, but to begin to know your region and some of the people who are actually doing amazing things and contributing to their communities on each one of those main streets as well.
I think that's such a great point, Rich. And you think about the way we communicate when we're traveling more slowly, and then you think about the way we communicate when we're, say, on a highway. Comedian Louis C.K. is fond of saying that when we are in our cars, especially on the highway, we talk to people in other cars. Now, obviously, they can't hear us in a way we never, ever would talk to them if we're in an elevator. You know, somebody who is not going fast enough for you or not getting over fast enough, we say terrible things to them. As, you know, and Louis C.K. says, these are real people with mothers and you know, children, and we talk to them as if they are terrible objects just in our way of not moving fast enough. And I think that's a great observation, and I think Rich's point about communication and relationship building. But to me, Ben, that takes us to the local version of what I call the international travel problem. If you like to travel, if you're one of those people who loves to go to new cities in the United States, or especially if you like to travel abroad, the dilemma is if you take a great trip, and what's the best trip you ever took, Ben?
My honeymoon in 2013 was driving 1,600 miles across Iceland.
Okay. Awesome.
It's pretty
right?
awesome.
Amazing. Best trip you ever took, Steve?
Just did it, actually. I went to Alberta, Banff National Park, and flew out to Seattle, drove up 12 hours to Banff.
I mean, unforgettable.
Yeah.
Amazing. Hopefully, you meet other people there now on a honeymoon. I don't know. I still assume you probably still will meet some other people, and you make these connections, and then you think, boy, I want to go back. But every time you choose to go back, you're depriving yourself the chance to go somewhere new. And that's always our sort of vacation dilemma. Do we go to somewhere that's comfortable and well-trod, or do we find somewhere that's new? Interestingly, I hadn't thought about it until the way you guys have posed this with Slow Road. You start to drive on the Slow Road out of Rochester, and you go end up out to Waterloo or Naples, and you're going to make connections with people, and you're going to want to end up back in those places. But you also want to push yourself to keep going to new places. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that there's this whole concept about the accessibility of escape. I love to throw this term out there because I think what we're also trying to kind of counter is this idea that you have to go a long way away to feel like you're a long way away. And there are times, though people might laugh or think I'm crazy, there are times where I've sat in Oswego on Water Street in their old City Hall Cafe and Grill, which is in the original City Hall from 1860, looked out on the river connecting with Lake Ontario, looked at the sunset coming down, looked at the old stone grain buildings that had been there, flour mills that had been there for almost 200 years, and felt like I'm in Europe. And, you know, I think what we're both kind of saying is you can have similar experiences here in Rochester that, you know, or in the region that you can connect with by taking the slow roads that you can in other places. And I've been to Switzerland, and I've been to Iceland, and I've been to England, I've been internationally, and yet I still keep coming back to upstate New York and find that the beauty of this place is remarkable. And I even have, you know, certain favorite stretches of roads that I like to take. A lot of my work brings me out to Medina, brings me out to Lockport. I take 31A out that way. Sometimes I take 31 back. Just yesterday, introduced somebody for the first time to the Culvert Tunnel underneath the Erie Canal, which is the only space you can actually drive underneath the Erie Canal. That was built around 1820, that they actually built a stone tunnel underneath there. So again, just this idea that our whole region is just full of things that honestly we don't know exist, and we should do a better job of connecting with that, and it doesn't take much effort, honestly.
And Danielle is asking online if this means it's supposed to be a one tank kind of a trip, as Evan mentioned, or is this an overnight stay kind of experience?
I think it's fun to play with everything. I think right now we've kind of started with, and it's kind of been unspoken. We haven't necessarily quantified it, but
there's no official paradigm
yeah.
yet.
Yeah, not yet, but something that's very accessible. I think, you know, I would be surprised if we're going more than 3 hours away from Rochester right now, but the honestly, there's so much within 1 hour that we could cover before we even get to the 3 hour tier of places to visit. You know, Max Drive-In is 50 miles from Rochester. And what we also like to do, this kind of speaks about how we like to get people to engage with things. It's not just about point A and point B. It's not, I'm leaving Rochester for Max Drive-In, which is why, again, I would disagree with the idea that the highway is the way to approach these places. I would say, no, you take 96, because if you don't take 96, you're not going to find Clifton Springs. You're not going to find Phelps. You're not going to find Waterloo. And each one of those communities has something unique to offer along the way. That's going to be universally true for every slow road that you take out of Rochester, is that you all of a sudden turn the experience into a journey instead of just a destination.
There was this quirky, cool moment in the episode, the first episode of Slow Road, in which you're in Phelps and you see all the other Phelps signs, Phelps to different Phelps locations around the country. And it was, I'd never seen that before. And I say quirky, but cool, because it's just another neat reminder of our small but beautiful place in the world. You know, I just thought that was, I don't know, I, for me it was strangely powerful.
Yeah.
And I'm a geek about stuff like that.
I have to hand it off to my new videographer and new co-producer, Alex Freeman. He's probably one of the most attentive people to detail, because truth be told, I didn't even see that sign when we were in Phelps. And when I saw it on film, I was like, this is incredible. And the sign that we're referring to shows how Phelps is connected not just to things on a local, regional, or national basis, but internationally. And you know, it's humorous.
And it tells you the distance, right?
It does, exactly.
The same way that you're thinking Rochester 50 miles to Waterloo, you're seeing Phelps to Phelps in different mileage. That was cool.
Yeah. I just think, like you said, it's powerful because it's a small community that says, look at how, for lack of a better example, look at how we're connected to places around the world. And it definitely makes you stop and think. And so even within the episode, I think there's a lot of kind of tinier stories like that, or just images that you see. And again, working with Alex has been an incredible privilege because of the way that he's able to communicate through an artistic format where we're going. And that was also key to me, is that I wrote a blog for a while. I have friends that write very good blogs in the area. But I really felt, for me, my duty in all of this was to act as a guide and to capture in high definition what these places look like, so that people would reduce a feeling of unfamiliarity and want to get off of their couches and go see these places because they felt inspired. And it's about inspiring people with the spirit of place.
Ben Welk and Steve Carter are here from Slow Road Travel. We're going to find out how they decide where to go and what else might be on the menu for upcoming Slow Road episodes. The website for Slow Road Travel to check it out is?
SlowRoadTravel.com.
SlowRoadTravel.com. We're going to take just a 30-second break, and right back as we continue the conversation. You can chime in as well, and I'll read more of your comments from online on your favorite places, maybe your favorite stops along the Slow Roads, whether it's a restaurant or a store, just a neat, different kind of place that you wish more people knew about. We'll share more of those stories as we continue with this conversation on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Wednesday on the next Connections, you might have received a $350 tax rebate in the mail, but is it good economic policy? And is the timing, so close to an election, just too obvious? Our panel explores those questions. Then we'll learn about Narendra Modi, the leader of India, one of the most powerful nations in the world. So why did Modi's U.S. visit get such little buzz? It's coming up Wednesday on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson, and we continue the conversation about the slow roads in our community and absorbing the gems in our community, not blowing by them on the highway. Online here, woman up in Ottawa writes that she loves Seneca Falls, women's rights, and it's a wonderful life, great place to go through. Carol online says, for me, the slow road used to be my own yard. I worked hard for it. Porches are so undervalued. But, you know, that's sort of a funny comment, but it's so true in that we spend less time. I mean, how often when you look to buy a new home are you thinking about, well, I'm going to spend a lot of time just sitting and relaxing on the front porch? Probably not as much as we used to. It's an interesting way to look at the way life has changed. Ben Welk and Steve Carter, how do you decide where you're going next? So you gave us a little taste. The next episode is going to be out when?
We're gonna head. Well, the next episode should be out by October 22nd is the date we're aiming for right now. We've already started pre-production for that, and we'll be filming again this week. We headed down Route 21 to Naples, and we're going to look at some of the different areas that you can connect with there. What strikes me about 21, for those that have been there, and recently there was a grape fest which brought many people to Naples, but just the natural beauty of the area. Sometimes, you know, we look at a road like 96, and sometimes we're actually looking for more programmatic things or local businesses we have to connect to. 21 is an experience all by itself. Just driving it, seeing the views that you can on a beautiful fall day. It's just absolutely spectacular. And honestly, my feeling when I'm doing that is that this is world class. People need to understand that the type of things that they can connect with here, and certainly something that you experienced through the Finger Lakes Winery and through when you were writing your book, these are stories that are worth knowing. These are people that are worth knowing. These are places that are worth traveling. And I don't care whether you're from Rochester or you're from 3,000 miles away. You know, you should come to upstate New York, take 21 and go to Naples. And I feel strongly enough about that.
For me, one of those moments that I just passed it, my wife and I were driving the other day down to Trumansburg, and 96A is the one that goes alongside the east side of Seneca Lake, mm-hmm. out of Geneva. And it was interesting. It was in August 2008 when I was just kind of setting out on the book process, and right before harvest starts, and everything is just beautiful, and the land is just sort of swelling and pulsing with life and all these things. And there's this part of the road, maybe 10 miles south of Geneva, when you're on 96A. And again, that's not, I think of it still as a slow road. It's not a highway. I mean, right. You can move pretty quickly, but there's this part where the land just sort of rolls. It rolls down and away to your left when you're driving south, and it builds up to this knoll on the right. And it was on both sides in 2008, it was all corn. And it looked like, when you look to your right, like these beautiful golden corn rows stretched into the sky. It was this amazing little moment for me that just locked into my brain. And the other day we were driving by, it was probably about a month ago now, we're driving by and I thought, oh my gosh, this is the spot right here. And I hadn't thought about it in about 6 years. And it's just one little spot, but it makes me just want to drive those kind of roads and try to absorb and try to appreciate mm-hmm. the little things that you're seeing. And that's not even a stop. So I don't even know if that counts right. in your book. But, you know, those little moments for me are so special.
I think it does. And, you know, even 130, you know, when I was talking about 31A, there's certain sections of the road right when you're getting to Barrie, for anyone that's very familiar with that area. The road just opens up. There's this big, dramatic old tree that sits on the left-hand side of the road as you're going 31A west. And then it just opens up into all these cornfields. And I think what I really like about what you're capturing here is that it really can just be a moment that makes you feel inspired by what's around you and by yeah. what you see. And when we talk about this idea of forsaking the highway, you know, I kind of laugh. One of my tongue-in-cheek things I say is, do you know Clifton Springs, the rest stop, or do you know Clifton Springs, the community? And if you're on the thruway, or a highway for that matter, it by its own infrastructure, it's going to bypass the places that you could connect with otherwise. And it exists also away from the natural environment. So here we're talking about how a slow road actually physically transforms itself to the natural environment that you're in. And if you're taking 21A, you know, there's one section you could argue that was cut off on the cliffside as you're going into Naples, which is also beautiful because you can see the natural exposed rock. But in general, slow roads are actually going to transform themselves more to the natural environment. You're going to be more in touch with that than you are with a walled thruway where you can't even see what you're bypassing. So again, it's about the journey.
All right. So when you guys are going to be putting together your coming episodes, how much of it is already in your brain and how much of it has to be new discovery?
Boy, it's a great question. I think it
you're smiling, Steve. Is that a question you've already asked or something?
I mean, yeah, Ben just kind of goes with it. Like, wherever we discover different places, it's like, oh, this is interesting, so let's try this. Maybe for an episode, there's sometimes different businesses or restaurants, like in the past one, or just towns. So just trying to find unique places along this
yeah.
area.
Yeah, it's really funny. I mean, I have a loose inventory of places in my brain that, you know, that I've experienced. Oswego is one that I'd like to get up to via the Seaway Trail through Pulteneyville. You know, Trumansburg, you mentioned, is a great community. A little thing I found out about Trumansburg that I didn't know is actually Robert Moog of Moog Synthesizers used to have a storefront in Trumansburg. And so again,
of all things.
And, you know, there's stories like that are just so compelling. Medina, New York has the Newell Shirt Factory, and the Newell Shirt Factory produced high-end men's dresswear across the world up until 2006. They were around from the turn of the century till that time. And some of their clientele was Winston Churchill and Al Capone. And the reason I'm throwing out things like this is because we just don't understand that these places that we presume is small, that we're dismissive of, had significant cultural things that took mm-hmm. place in their communities, have significant history, sometimes more intact than even downtown Rochester, because they weren't affected by urban renewal. And it's a completely different experience when you go and put yourself and immerse yourself in the center of those places.
So. And look, I'm guilty of being someone who can live in a community like that and not even be fully aware yeah. of some of those things. And I think, I, to some degree, I think we probably all have.
Right.
Yeah. But do we risk losing our history if that's if we only take the fast rows? Is that part of the concern?
I mean, we're probably having a debate that took place in the 60s right now. You know, that's my first thought, is certainly that was what happened. But even looking at, you know, things like the inner loop, as Steve was just telling me on the way here, they're going to fill in the inner loop starting on November.
They're filling in one-third of the inner loop.
Yeah,
the city engineers are always begging the media to be, it's one-third of the inner loop. It could eventually be the whole thing, but yes, it's a third.
It's basically a U of the inner loop. Yeah. But, you know, how much... the original RIT campus being within the city of Rochester before the inner loop was destroyed, I learned about the fact that there was a town actually called Manhattan. There's a neighborhood called Manhattan in the heart of Rochester, which is where we initially had Manhattan Square Park come from, that disappeared during the inner loop as well. So it, absolutely, highways destroyed history, and they hurt a lot of small towns economically. And you know, I can't profess to be a scholar in understanding why all of those factors took place. But what I can do is I can advocate to say, well, maybe it's about time we return to some of those communities that were bypassed. Maybe it's time we actually see what's there, as we've been in this changing environment over the course of the last 50 or 60 years since highways really began.
And for me, what slow road travel does is it doesn't say never take the highway. It says look at the highway as its rightful function. And when you really need to move and you really have a long way to go, okay.
Yeah.
But don't forsake those connections in those moments just because you want to say 5 or 10 or 15 minutes.
Right.
That there could be something special apart from that. So let me, I see the phones lighting up here. Let's get back to the phones. Mary Jane, thanks for calling Connections. Go ahead.
Yes. As soon as you mention a favorite spot, I think of the section in Webster area on Lake Road. Mm-hmm. And it's a lovely drive going east. And as a child, I remember coming across a Burma Shave type message, but I don't think it had anything to do with Burma Shave, that said, flowers are beautiful where they grow. Look at them, love them, but leave it so.
Oh, well said, Mary Jane.
And I use that with my children and my grandchildren to remember, you know, don't go picking flowers in another neighbor's yard. But it is a beautiful, and I never forget it. The sign isn't there anymore, but I always recite it when I go east on Lake Road.
Well said, Mary Jane. Thank you for the call. A beautiful sentiment. And now I'm starting to see many more comments online. There's Sarah saying, love driving through New York State. It's been a great pleasure for the past 14 years. Great show today. Chris says, the inner loop caused the move of two incredibly historic churches, which that's not history I'm perfectly familiar with, but interesting. I mean, it speaks to your point that you're making there, Ben.
Right.
Let me get back to the phones as well. This is Bill in Webster. Bill, you're on with Ben Welk and Steve Carter from Slow Road Travel. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll just relate my own experience. I'm 56 and have been traveling in outside sales for 30-plus years and doing exactly this because I just love to seek adventure out there and see all the beautiful places. But I also hop on my motorcycle and just once a year purposely get lost and spend, you know, I'll go wherever and go for 2 or 3 days and Catskills, Adirondacks, go 15 south and just stop. And people, when they see you on a cycle, they it's kind of interesting to me. They want to come over and talk to you about, you know, what are you doing and where are you going? And it's just a beautiful thing, really. Mm-hmm. So, you know, once you might kind of this philosophy of on purpose, once a year I get lost and just to experience life that way. So
love it.
Something to share.
Great stuff, Bill. Hey. And a lot of us would feel like we can't afford to get lost. We don't have the time. Mm. And Bill's saying he carves out time for that once a year. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, even the affordability, you know, that's been coming up over and over again. And, you know, again, going back to this idea of the accessibility of escape, my thought is we don't have to take a trip to Sandals in Jamaica. We don't have to go to some resort to feel like we're away. And, you know, Cooperstown is another place. I lived for 2 years from 2006 to 2008 in Cooperstown. I went to my undergrad at SUNY Oneonta. And I lived in the one stoplight town of Milford, if you're going up 28 from the highway up north towards Cooperstown. And that part of my exploration started then as well. And really, you know, I went to places like Cherry Valley via all the back roads, you know, commonly went up to Cooperstown to see Cooperstown less for the tourist mecca that it is in terms of being Baseball Hall of Fame, but what were the smaller things that were there? You know, James Fenimore Cooper's grave is there. There's an art museum that's there. Again, just this idea of visiting places all across the region and feeling like even the smallest things can make you feel like you accomplished something or you discovered something really unique.
We're talking to Ben Welk, who has put together this company that is focusing, getting so many of us to think about our communities that surround us. And before we get to another endeavor that you're involved in, a little bit to our west, you know, Ben, I actually want to appeal to our listeners. There's two of my favorite streets I don't even know what the roads are offhand, but if you're listening and you've been to Hammondsport, I want to know what the name of the street is that goes from the center of town where the center square is there, and you've got Cuca Artisan Bakery on that street, the Luna Metsa, the new restaurants there, and then that road goes down the hill. It passes a beautiful bed and breakfast all the way down to the beach, all the way down to the lake at the bottom of Cuca Lake in Hammondsport. If you know what street that is, I'd love to know. It's one of my favorite spots. My wife and I were there with our son this year, and we just walked and stopped and relaxed, and it was great. And then there's a spot in Geneva right around the corner from the Smith Opera House where the new Microclimate Wine Bar is, and it's the kind of place that you expect them to eventually stop through traffic and just turn it into sort of a cobblestone street with cafe tables, and they already have the track lighting or the lights that hang down. And I don't know what the name of the road is from around the corner from the Smith Opera House, but that's another one of my favorite streets. And Steve, you were saying that you almost wish Gibbs would become that way in Rochester.
Yeah.
Shut it down to through traffic.
Yeah, put a stage in there so that you have it for Jazz Fest. I think different people have brought that up before, and I've read different articles about wanting to close Gibbs Street. I think that would be cool.
I think it seems so sort of organic to the city. That would be great to see. Can you make any money doing this? How are you going to stay in business for those who really like what you're doing?
Sure. Well, it's an interesting mix. You know, what I do, I guess all of it's professional, but it's funny the way I think about it too. But what I feel like I do in my professional life, which is through Slow Road Consulting, is based on looking at things like business development, strategic marketing, even policy research. And some of my clients include like the Village of Scottsville. So I am working for an actual place and trying to realize that as they're looking for an agency that's going to help communicate their Main Street values and how Scottsville is communicated as a very small village. Again, another place that is just off the beaten path outside of Rochester, 12 miles from the center of the city, but feels like it's about 35 miles from the city, but has tremendous potential through recreational outlets and through history on that main street to be an incredible, vibrant place. And then also working for some initiatives that are rooted in tourism and rooted in the idea of getting people to engage with our region in different ways, which I think we'll talk about in a moment. So there is a professional aspect of what I do through my day job. And then really, for me, it is looking at trying to figure out what is the model to fund the documentary series itself. And what I can say is we are starting to get some very good attention. I was contacted by Mini Cooper internationally about 3 weeks ago. They're going to be running an article on their official minispace.com forum, and also looking to share the Slow Road story through their social media, which is just tremendous. You know, so hopefully we're moving to a level of enough people that want this. Sometimes I think about things in my life and I'm like, maybe if enough people want this and they see the value of this, then they'll support it. And certainly we do rely on donations. People can support our journey. And I always like to put it that way, support our journey through slowroadtravel.com/donate. People can help fund us that way. I've got a local sponsor in Flower City Post who in his day job, he takes archival images of upstate New York, and he was a color science background at RIT, and he digitizes them and restores them, so you can already see the synergy and parallel between what he's doing and what we're doing. And I think that's the way to go. I think I feel so confident what we're doing. I'm happy to continue funding it out of my pocket to make sure that happens. But of course, for the longevity of this, I would love it if we get to sponsorship agreements and just community support.
And so you mentioned, here's the New York Times covering what Ben just mentioned. A couple days ago in the New York Times, there's the article, All Aboard to Dine and Drink. It's about the Medina Railroad Museum and Niagara Wine Trail partnering for a two-hour train ride.
Right.
So, and turns out there's Ben's name in the story as well. So Slow Road Consulting is helping put together, kind of create this, and I always hate to use this corporate word, but this synergy among the rail community, the agriculture community, the wine community. So what's going
on? Right. About a year ago, and again, this is just another great story about how relationship building and innovation comes out of traveling. Slow Road came to Medina, New York. I personally knew the very young and dynamic mayor, Andrew Meyer, out in Medina, and had talked with him about coming to their town. He introduced me to a gentleman at the Medina Railroad Museum while we're filming, a gentleman named Michael Gahn, who was working on the restoration of different trains. He was on the board of the Medina Railroad Museum at that time. And, you know, come full circle a year later, I've been able to reconnect with him, work on him on an endeavor called Western New York Excursions, which is going to be basically a management company that's looking to arrange experiences across Western New York, but is rooted right now in this rail. And so we saw this incredible potential to do something that would change the way people engage with the region, but also showcase what was natural to the region, and that being the Niagara Wine Trail and also farm-to-table elements. So we're working with local culinary providers, we're working with local farms across Western New York, so people can actually ride this two-hour train ride and, you know, I've been kind of putting it, see the area, but also sample the area, get a taste for the area as they're going on this, again, historic heritage rail out of the Medina Railroad Museum.
How often is this happening?
This is our third run coming up out of four that we've just done. Our sales have been...
Third run on what day?
October 11th.
Okay.
We have one train that's departing out of Brockport, New York at 11:30 a.m. That's also part of the realization of this, is extending geographically the line and how people can access Western New York. I'm very excited about Brockport being a gateway for people going west through the rail. Or you can come to the Medina Railroad Museum at 1 p.m. To take the farm-to-table train. So that's on October 11th, and then our final date is on October 18th. Then that series will wrap up. We'll go to all sorts of ideas like the Phantom Express, which is a adult Halloween experience, again, rooted in some local spirit sampling from Black Button Distilling. We're talking to Hedonist Chocolatiers right now about providing adult trick-or-treats. And then 2 hours actually spent by the Flight of Five Locks in Lockport. Then we'll actually look to try to bring this farm-to-table series back in the spring as well. So this will be ongoing.
And I'm reading that the standard ticket, $45 a person.
Correct.
The first-class service with that complete meal, table seating, one-on-one consultations with winery representatives above a vintage 1947 dining car.
Right.
$63 a person.
Right. Yep.
And how's it been going so far?
Well, the first class is already sold out for this run through the 18th, which is unfortunate to report for anyone that was looking to do that. However, I will speak very highly about the what we're calling the coach experience. It's a 1951 Streamliner, New York Central rail cars. Very open, very spacious. You don't get the table seating, but you do have sommeliers coming through the train, actually pouring for people. By your seat side, you have your wine glass. And then what I also like about coach is the ability to get up, move around, walk in between the cars. And the secret that I've been telling people on the train is you go to the very back of the train, you go on the back rear platform, which has basically become a mobile photo booth with a rail in the background and all the beautiful fall leaf colors as you're, again, slow rail here. Slow road meets slow rail, traveling slowly across Western New York and taking in the whole experience.
Steve, you got to be so happy as a brand consultant. He's just putting slow on everything.
Yeah,
and it works.
Slow everywhere.
We don't have to get anything done quickly.
Yeah. Slow building.
The problem is when someone calls Ben, relax. I'll get back to you. Take your time. How long is the rail trip?
2 hours. If you start from the Medina Railroad Museum, it goes from 1 to 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. If you join us from the Brockport Extension, which is an additional $15 for that excursion, you board at 11:30 a.m. You're in the Medina Rail Station by 1, and then you have the option of either visiting Medina for several hours on that $15 ticket, or you can stay on the farm-to-table wine train for a 10% discount off of your coach ticket, and then return to Brockport at 4 p.m.
To the extent that I know anything about local wines, if you're wondering how Niagara wines are, they're quite good, and the American side's very different than the Canadian side. The Canadian side, if you've never been up there, and by the way, the American side, they always send me emails saying, we're closer to you in Rochester than the Finger Lakes are. but the Canadian side has a lot of Toronto and finance money, and so there's a place in on the Niagara, on the Canadian side, called Taws, T-A-W-S-E, and we jokingly call it the Taws Mahal. It looks like Napa in Canada up there. On the American side, it's more rustic. And that's not a pejorative. That's just an observation. And they're working very hard, and in many cases making very good wine. So I would never hesitate to get on a dining car and say, where the wine's from. All right, here we go. And that's got to be exciting.
What I love about this entire option of the rail is we've talked about this idea. We're combining a physical infrastructure with what can be a conceptual infrastructure, which is how do we program almost like a mobile clearinghouse across Western New York to bring people in to highlight what it is that they do. And right now that's very focused on the wine trail and the farm to table. That's been going very well. But I also even see possibly doing some arts-based initiatives and working with people who actually, you know, write about their experience or paint what they see out the windows as they travel on this rail. I see this, you know, to speak big picture, I see this being a way that we can really brand Western New York in a way that it hasn't been realized in the past.
Ben, are you the kind of guy who says no smartphones at the dinner table?
No. If anything, my wife has been getting on me, and I understandably so, because I'm too busy.
I think she's right. You strike me as the kind of guy, though, who, you know, you're going to appreciate that. So,
right.
I'd listen to your wife.
You're right.
On that
she's
one.
Smart. She's very smart.
Here's Mike on Twitter saying favorite places in Rochester for me: Postcard Falls in Corbett Glen, Lower Falls salmon fishing, the Steps at Highland Park, the Somerville Pier. So you got people thinking about some of their favorite places, which is really cool. And I'm also glad to say that a listener called in to tell us the name of the street in Geneva is Linden Avenue. So Linden Avenue in Geneva, really cool small street that if you catch it, especially at the right time, when sunset or on a warm summer night, I'm sure on a fall day, you feel like you might be going back in time, especially if there's no cars coming down and it's just this kind of side alleyway that almost feels like you jumped back about a century. All right, let me wrap the conversation like this with Ben and Steve. If you want to check out the video that's online now, where do you find the first, the one that takes us to Max in Waterloo?
Sure, yeah, slowroadtravel.com has a lot of it up there. We also have an official Slow Road Vimeo, V-I-M-E-O, .com, that people can find us there. And we're very active on our social media, which is great to have Steve sitting next to me because he's the one behind the majority of that.
The Twitter account is what?
Slow Road Travel, Slow Road Travel on Facebook, and also Slow Road Travel on Instagram. So you can find us there, and please do keep up with our efforts as we continue to try to bring what we really hope is unprecedented exposure to our region and our area, and more importantly, begin to tell the story of the people and places that matter and should be known.
And I'm always sort of careful to say, look, I don't want to oversaturate a conversation with an ad, but you know what? My conversations with Ben and Steve, I think you're as genuine as you can be in terms of looking at this saying, hey, if it's a viable business, even better, but this is part of our community. So,
absolutely.
Thanks for taking the time. Steve, nice to meet you.
Yeah, thank you.
Ben, thank you for
being
here.
Pleasure.
Congratulations on Slow Road Travel, slowroadtravel.com. Thanks to Dave Campo, our engineer today. I'm Evan Dawson. You've been listening to Connections on member-supported public radio.